From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Friday, April 5th, and here are today's headlines. The Vermont Senate this week gave final approval to the Climate Superfund Act. The bill seeks to make big oil companies pay for a share of the damage Vermont has endured because of human-caused climate change. It's similar to the federal Superfund program, which forces big polluters to pay to clean up toxic waste they're responsible for. The bill advanced with bipartisan support, including three votes from Republican lawmakers. Lamoille County Senator Richie Westman was one of them.
The things that have happened to our climate are creating issues for Vermont and our society. And if you've made big profits to get there, you should pay to something.
The bill passed with enough support to override a possible veto by Governor Phil Scott. He opposes the legislation over concerns it will be costly to go after big companies. A new amendment this week would require the state auditor to keep tabs on that, and several Senate Republicans say that protective provision earned their vote. The bill next goes to the House. The state of Vermont is taking steps to limit the influence of online sports betting on college athletes. At the urging of the NCAA, Vermont is now banning proposition bets on college games. That's when someone wagers on the performance of a specific athlete, like whether a basketball player will score 20 points or grab 10 rebounds. The NCAA says some college athletes have been harassed after not meeting prop bet targets. Lottery Commissioner Wendy Knight says Vermont is also taking part in a national tip line to anonymously report cases of improper betting. She says it's critical for the state to take proactive steps to preserve the integrity of the program.
And keep educating ourselves about the negative impact of the intersection between online sports wagering and athletic events.
Knight says the prop betting ban is now in place. A pair of Vermont sports teams have been ousted from their respective playoff tournaments following successful regular season campaigns. The University of Vermont women's basketball team was bounced from the National Invitation Tournament, falling just shy of reaching the championship game. The Catamounts gave St. Louis University everything they had in the Fab Four semifinal, losing by just 3 points, 57-54, on Wednesday night. The Catamounts finished their season with a record of 25-12, and Wednesday's loss spelled the end of the collegiate careers for two standout players, seniors Delaney Richeson and guard Emma Utterback. And on the soccer pitch, Vermont Green FC's U.S. Open Cup run ended Wednesday night as they fell to Carolina Core FC by a score of 2-1. UVM junior Yaniv Bazzini scored a first-half penalty to put the Green up, but the Core's two second-half goals proved to be too much. The Burlington-based Green made it into the second playoff round after defeating a higher-ranked club from Lexington, Kentucky in round one, and they'll now shift focus to their regular season USL League Two games, which begin next month. First responders are imploring Vermonters not to go hiking to see the eclipse on Monday. They're worried about a number of factors. With the snowstorm this week, conditions in the mountains will be wintry, even if the valleys are sunny and warm. Then the timing of the eclipse in late afternoon means temperatures will plummet soon after. And the clear forecast for Monday, which we'll hear about in a moment, promises a huge influx of visitors to the state. Tom Rogers with Stowe Mountain Rescue says they've been planning for the eclipse for months. Still, he's worried.
So part of it is people being potentially unprepared for the conditions that they weren't anticipating in Vermont. And part of it is just sheer volume of people. The influx of people that they're anticipating is pretty daunting. And so with that many people, all it takes is a few accidents and rescue services can really get backed up.
They're anticipating tens of thousands of people in the backcountry around Stowe alone. And while April isn't typically the sunniest month in Vermont, it does look like folks hoping for a clear view of the total solar eclipse on Monday will get their wish. Matthew Clay is with the National Weather Service in Burlington.
We're looking at about as good of a day as you can expect for early April. Looking at mostly sunny and dry conditions across the region, especially in the path of totality. So looking like it's going to be a really nice day with high temperatures in the 50s and light northwest winds.
Clay says there will be a few stray cumulus clouds as well, but nothing that would impede a clear view of the eclipse Monday, which will occur around 3:30 in the afternoon. State officials expect roughly 160,000 people to visit Vermont for the eclipse. Coming up, we hear from the Vice President of the Islamic Society of Vermont as the holy month of Ramadan draws to a close. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VIDA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
The holy month of Ramadan ends on Tuesday. The extended holiday celebrates when the first books of the Quran were initially revealed to the Prophet Muhammad some 1,400 years ago. Practicing Muslims spend Ramadan fasting from dawn to sunset in order to practice spiritual discipline. It's a time to pray, reflect, and celebrate, often in community. Fawad Al-Amoudi is the Vice President of the Islamic Society of Vermont, and he spoke with host Jen Jarecki about Ramadan and his own religious journey.
Fawad, what does Ramadan mean to you?
The month of Ramadan is our holy month. We have 12 months in Islamic calendar, and 1 month of that is Ramadan. In that month, usually, people reflect on themselves. There is spiritual growth. There is the devotion to God, where we worship God. We increase our worship. We grow our spiritual growth in Islam, where we increase our gratitude. You know, we reflect on our gratitude, on things that we do have as Americans, as Muslims, you know, to be thankful to God. But in this month, in the daytime, we refrain ourselves from eating. You know, we increase our worshiping of God. And there are things that come out from this month. Our Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tells us that anyone going through this month without gaining anything, then is a loser. Because it's so much, advantage. There's a lot of advantage things that we can get or attain in this month of Ramadan. And, you know, I think, you know, other things, like one most thing is, I think if I had to summarize everything about Ramadan, is the unity, the Muslim unity, you know, people getting together.
I mean, what is the nuance of celebrating Ramadan in Vermont?
I've lived different part of the world. By far, Vermont is the best place to live. The struggle as Muslims we do have here is getting an imam. We had an imam prior who was here for 10, 11 years. So a lot of imams, people who are leaders for the masjid, who are leading the prayers, they don't like Vermont because of the cold. It gets really cold here. So they try to avoid here. So it was hard for us. It took us a year and a half, you know, to get an imam. But, you know, alhamdulillah, right now we did get an imam, you know, in the process of, you know, hiring the imam right now. So it's a good thing. Hopefully, he's going to be here to stay with us. But that was the struggle we did face. We had to up our, you know, salary. Burlington is not a cheap place to live.
Do you have a favorite tradition or moment during the holy month that you'd be open to sharing with listeners?
Unfortunately, in the United States, kids who are growing up, they don't have the same affluence, the same impact as Ramadan as other countries like Muslim countries. In the Muslim countries, Ramadan, you will see, you know, when you go outside, wow, you know, it's different compared to other regular days. In the United States and other Western countries, Muslims don't see that. They will go out, they will go to school. It's the same thing. The school don't have anything saying, you know, Ramadan Mubarak or celebrating today. It's going to be a day to celebrate the people who are fasting. There's nothing like that. So what we have done to create a culture in my family is like every year we do something special. So for each day. So when they completed this day, we used to have balloons. We used to put like toys inside balloons for my kids. So each day they get excited. And we only pop them out after we open our fast. So they were like eager to get that. I mean, my kids are growing up now, so the balloons doesn't work anymore. So now I got my daughter and my son a book where they write Ramadan, fast Ramadan. What are you thankful of? Things that you can do for the world to change. You know, more intellectual, more things that they can think about rather than materialistic things. For our community, something special that we have done is, as we have done all the time, is, you know, have the iftar. I invite, you know, anyone to come. People who are listening to this, they are invited to come. So it's a Saturday and Sunday. We are all welcoming. There's food from India, people from ethnicity from Bosnia. We have, from Somalia. We have all kind of foods up there. And I love that cuisine of different ethnicity. You know, I love that stuff.
Stepping back, Ramadan unfolded this year alongside the war in Gaza. More than 33,000 Palestinians have been killed, and roughly 1,200 Israelis were killed on October 7th in a Hamas-led attack. Weeks ago, Islamic Society of Vermont called for a ceasefire in Gaza. Will you share with listeners how that came together?
When the war started up there, you know, initially, many people didn't want to get involved. We didn't have a community leader like the imam. It was all up on the board to give a statement, to talk about it. Things continued, you know, after the October 7th, things continued. And we see, and people see, people have families there, and they see the atrocities that are happening there. That, you know, we as the board member, we can't do justice to just be quiet. We can't. It's affecting us as individuals. It's affecting us as humans. So we were struggling as board members. There were points that I want to resign. I'm not fit for this thing. I don't want to be involved in the news. When the three kids, the innocent kids, got shot, there was an influx of news media here, big medias who wanted to talk to us. There were people from Canada who wanted to talk to us. Guess where they're going to go? Islamic Society of Vermont. The weight on our shoulders was a lot. However, you know, what's going up there, it's much more than just the weight on our shoulders. And this is why, for us, we had to come out and say it unequivocally, like, cease fire. We need to stop this. We need to start humanizing people. And I do say this, that, you know, what happened that day was wrong on October 7th. It's wrong where innocent people are killed. And this is, amazingly, it's in the Quran. Our religion teaches us this. It says that when you kill an innocent person, as if you kill the whole humanity. People will write this in our books. There was a time in 2024, 2023, this happening, and people were quiet. Americans were quiet. Everywhere in the Arab world is quiet. People are dying with hunger. Forget about bombs. Bombs, now it's still going on. Now it's hunger, famine. We, as Americans, we as humans, we can stop this.
How has the community responded to the public call for peace? I mean, have you found that silence, or has there been something more resounding?
There are, and that's why sometimes I say Vermont is a peaceful place. You know, you see all colors of help, solidarity with us, especially when we had that incident where the three kids who were shot. And what amazed me at that time, and I really felt it, because I get all the emails, and I read how people feel out. We did get a lot of solidarity. We did get a lot of support from the community, from people around Vermont. And, you know, that's why, you know, there's a lot of marches happening. You see a lot of support from people around Vermont to stop the killing, cease fire.
Before we go.
Yes.
What is something you'll be reflecting on in this latter half of Ramadan?
One thing that I have, and us as a community, we have done, is making more prayers for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. We want this. And it's unfortunate. And us as Muslims, humanity is one. For us Muslims, we believe humanity is one, especially like Muslims. That's why we call each other brother this, sister that. We are very connected. It's like a body. When a limb gets hurt or you feel pain in a limb, the whole body feels pain. So you can't go sleep. That's what we are feeling right now. The Muslim community right now is feeling that pain of what's going on up there.
That was Fuad Al-Amoudi, Vice President of the Islamic Society of Vermont, speaking with host Jen Jarecki about Ramadan as the holy month comes to an end. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Abigail Giles, Bob Kinzel, Nathaniel Wilson, and Lexi Krupp. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you Monday.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.